Welcome to Strengthen, a podcast dedicated to inspiring you to become your strongest self. I am your host, Gabby Barreto, a registered dietitian and personal trainer with the mission of empowering you to become the best version of yourself yet. So let's get stronger together. Guys, what is up? Happy Strengthen Wednesday and happy spring. I'm super excited about spring because right after spring comes summer, and summer is my favorite season. I'm not a big fan of the in-betweens. Also, summer is like, it's a chill time, it's relaxing time. My birthday's like, it's not in summer technically, but it feels like it's summer. And it's just such an amazing time to be alive. And because I love summer so much, I am launching this spring in April my Fuel Your Strength 4-part nutrition for strength training and fitness workshop. And so it is going to be 4 parts, and it is going to teach you how to fuel your workouts. Because you guys, it is super important that if you want to be training, and that if you want to be your training to be effective and healthy and safe, that there is a specific way that we need to be implementing our nutrition practices, and we need to be fueling right, and we need to be fueling smart. And I am there to teach you all of that with a health and non-weight based approach. Y'all know how I am. And that's how we're going to do it. And we're going to do it smart. And we're going to do it science. So I'm super excited. I'm super pumped for that. I'm super excited for you guys to like see changes in your training and not just show up and sweat, but like show up and grow up. I'm a sports dietitian. I work with athletes ranging from college all the way into the professional levels. So I'm going to be teaching you guys all of the top nutrition training tips that I got and that I use with the pros, obviously at a different level because they are a little different, but we're going to be talking about pre-post all throughout the day, hydration, super important, and then all of your lifestyle stuff. So definitely check that out. Hop onto my website, go under the nutrition tab and look for Fuel Your Strength. So with that said, guys, I'm going to talk about a really important topic today within the dieting and sports nutrition world. And while it may not seem really sexy because like we don't see our bones and we are such a materialistic world, but I'm going to be talking about your bone health. And y'all know I talk about bone health very, very often. And while it's not talked loudly enough in the fitness and nutrition industry, because like I said, it's not super sexy, it's not aesthetic, it's not something that we look at and we can get like instant gratification from, like having a high bone mineral density and having like really strong bones. Like that doesn't sound cute, but like it's really important. And as I progress in my own life and as I progress in my own like practice and my clients and that I work with, like longevity is really where it should be at versus like the quick fix stuff. Like I hope that that eventually fades out. I doubt it will. So I'm just going to talk really loud into this microphone about longevity and specifically about bone health. So you're like, why are you so crazy about bone health? Well, many, many reasons, but mainly your skeleton is like what holds you up, what holds you together, which like what carries you through life. So like your skeleton, like the word skeleton, if you hear it in other contexts, like it is the base. It is what holds us together. And obviously your muscles attach to your bones, and that's what allows us to move and create movements and do all those amazing, fantastic things that we do. Now, especially women, as we age, our production of estrogen, it tanks, baby. And that's why, as women, as we age, we do develop fatty deposits, especially in the abdominal area, and everyone cries about it, but it is a normal part of aging, right? Some people, I've even heard it called like a life preserver, because those stores help us produce more estrogen. And so while our reproductive system decreases its production of estrogen, we do have some estrogen production from those stores. So while we may like cringe and cry about it and we're told that we need to lose it, we need body fat. It's essential. And as we age, it is part of what is going to keep our bone mineral density and our estrogen, you know, afloat. And so why this is all important, and that I'm talking about it now, and to primarily my listeners, we are younger, we're maybe in our 20s, our 30s, our 40s. If you're out of that range bracket, cool. I really want you to keep listening, because this is also really important for you. And so while genetics play a role, and you may be thinking, well, genetics, your nutrition and your training can play a huge, huge, huge role in this. So that is why I encourage women, especially men too, to pick up bells, whether it is a dumbbell, a barbell, or a kettlebell, to pick up bells and move them, and move them often, and move heavy bells often. That is going to help you increase your bone mineral density, and that is going to help you create strong, healthy bones throughout the lifespan. And now I'm not going to talk so much about training. I'm really going to focus on the other part, which is the nutrition aspect of it. And what sparked me to talk about this from the perspective, which is the chronic dieting perspective, was a study that I ran across that I was just reading last week as I was searching. And now it's a study from 2004. And these are things that we know. But when I read studies, like, I just get like reignited to like go and dig and spend my time. As a practitioner, it's really important that we read research. And that's what differentiates people who just prescribe meal plans and people who are practitioners and dietitians and clinical nutritionists, is that we dig into the research and we provide the findings from the research and we implement them into our practice. And so, like I said, this was a study from 2004. And you know, it was titled Low Bone Mass and Premenopausal Chronic Dieting Obese Women. And so it is really thought that because, you know, women who are obese and are of a higher weight are thought to be at lower risk for osteoporosis because they have more body weight. And like I mentioned, estrogen produced in fat cells can have a higher, better impact on weight-bearing bones to produce larger, higher bone mineral densities. And this study looked at primarily Caucasian women. Caucasian women, white women, are more prone to lower bone mineral density in the literature for many reasons. But the study looked at Caucasian or white obese women between the ages of 30 and 45. And I want you to breathe and pause, because what I am about to say may shock you. In all of the women in this study, 31% had osteopenia or osteoporosis, likely as a result of chronic dieting throughout their lives. And this is just another reason why dieting is harmful. And when we talk about HAES, Health at Every Size, and a health-centered approach, this is what we're talking about. The perpetuation of dieting throughout life does not have good outcomes. In the group of 31%, almost 90% of them had osteoporosis or osteopenia in their lumbar spine, and almost 13% had it in their femur. And those are two sites that we look at for bone mineral density. Now, if you're asking what is the difference between osteoporosis and osteopenia is just bone loss that's not as severe as osteoporosis. And this is problematic. I mean, just looking at this study, this one single study, and I know we look at the preponderance of evidence and we look at many studies, which I do often, and I have in this case, but the age range for this study was between the ages of 30 and 45. And while we may look at people, we generally will think of osteoporosis and osteopenia because we are a weight-centric society as things that have to do with people who are thin and frail. But these were seen in larger women, and this is problematic. And this shows that it's not necessarily weight that are associated with certain chronic conditions and certain clinical conditions, that it is the chronic dieting itself that is causing the osteoporosis and osteopenia, and that is the low energy availability. And if you guys listened to me talk about low energy availability before, I'll define it for you again. So low energy availability is basically low calorie availability. If you understand, calorie is energies. And that occurs when the body has insufficient energy available to meet the needs of your training and normal physiological functioning. And I've posted and talked about this before, about 45% of exercising women, studies have shown that 45% of exercising women are at risk for this. And low energy availability is really correlated with a lot of, health conditions that encompass hormonal changes, bone health, and lipid profiles. So, you know, it affects our bone health, it can affect our reproductive system, and it can affect our cardiovascular health as well. And so it's just a large gamut of things that it really affects. And when we're looking at disordered eating and eating disorders and just dieting in general, which I really classify under the disordered eating guise, whether people, you know, recognize it is or isn't, or are purposefully doing it or not, it really follows or falls underneath the same guise to me. Maybe not necessarily from a mental health aspect, but from the actual behaviors and, you know, from the actual clinical aspect of calorie intake versus calorie needs. And a friend of mine who's also a nutritionist, a sports nutritionist, and I were like hypothesizing that we are going to see a large increase. It's a hypothesis, if I can even say the word, that we're going to see a generation of women with just higher rates of osteoporosis and osteopenia at younger ages as a result of these intermittent fasting and these ketogenic diets. And I could be wrong because it's been around for so long, but it's just so prevalent now. And maybe it is because we're more aware of it because of social media as well. But we know that ketogenic diets and these intermittent fasting diets are not good for women's hormones, and low carbohydrate diets are not. And there's, you know, studies that are actually going on now that are really looking at low carbohydrate diets and the impacts of low energy availability, such as the hormonal changes, bone health changes, lipid profile changes, you know, and its impact itself of the carbohydrates itself coupled with the low energy availability in these low carbohydrate diets, if that's really having even more of an impact because of these popular diets, which really we need more education on of that. And that needs to be sexy. Like, it needs to be sexier to like eat enough food. It really should be sexy. What should not be sexy is like someone sitting with a salad and smiling and pretending that they're full. What needs to be sexy is like a woman like eating a sandwich and moving on with her day and like feeling normal about that. Not like sitting with a salad, smiling in a sports bra, which like, okay, maybe I'm that girl sometimes, but like that's not my intention. But like what needs to be sexy is like a woman just like eating a piece of bread and moving on with her day, and like doesn't need to be a big deal. Like it doesn't need to be a big deal that like I ate carbs today. It just needs to be a thing that happens. So I'll wait for that to be sexy. But I digress. And there was another study that I really wanted to talk about. And so like grab your tissues because this might be a little sad. So a study done recently in like 2018 looked at dieting in young girls, adolescents, and found that this was a longitudinal study, meaning this was done over years to look at
2 years actually, specifically, to look at the impact of dieting on bone mineral accrual during adolescence. Now, adolescence is the peak time when bone mass is accrued in life, especially in a woman's life. And there's also a time where dieting and related, you know, eating disorders are more prevalent in a woman's life. Not to say that it doesn't happen in adulthood, it certainly does, but especially in those young years. Now, this study found that girls who reported to start dieting to try to lose weight by age 11, had a little over 4% lower bone mineral accrual during adolescence, and about 3% of them had lower bone mineral composition or content than girls who never started dieting before age 11 or at all. So it was girls who started dieting by age 11 who had these lower incidences of bone mineral accrual and bone mineral content versus girls who never dieted or started dieting after the age 11. Wow. I'm just a little quiet because it's like I've read this before and I know this, but it's just like when I start to speak it, it just becomes more like shocking that like there's girls before the age 11 who are dieting to lose weight. Now, I just want you to pause and reflect for a second and think about like, what was I doing at age 11? What I was doing at age 11 was like playing sports. Like, I didn't have the greatest diet and I didn't have the greatest relationship with food, but I wasn't dieting. I was going to like the movies with my friends. I was wearing And One basketball shorts, Nike basketball sneakers, a Tweety Bird shirt. My hair was in a bun. I was a little bit of a tomboy. Things kind of make sense if you follow me now. But I was like a tomboy, not a super girly girl at all. But like, was I a little self-conscious because I was chubbier? Was I made fun of? Sure. But did it like consume my life to the point where like I was trying to lose weight at before the age 11? No. Was I uncomfortable and awkward? Absolutely. So when I read this study, like I can identify with young girls who diet, but in my practice, I do see young girls who diet and I do see parents who encourage or hear of parents who encourage young girls to diet. A child by no means should ever be on a calorically restrictive diet. A child should never be encouraged to lose weight. Actually, we want to be encouraging healthy growth into adolescence, into puberty, and we really do not want to be encouraging weight loss. And this study is a direct reason as to why we don't want to be encouraging weight loss on young children. And you may pose the question to me with, well, my child is overweight or my child is bigger. And if that is something that you are concerned about, I want you to first internally look at who is it impacting. Is it impacting you or is it impacting the child and both? And if it is, I think it's important for you to learn how to talk about food and body shape and size around children as to not impact them. And additionally, I think it's important for you to learn how to approach nutrition and physical activity with your children from a health first perspective versus a weight first perspective. And by no means should a child be on a weight loss plan. I've seen it. I've seen children on weight loss plans, on calorie counting plans, and that's not the way to approach nutrition with children. Sure, are calories important? Is nutrition important? Absolutely. But there are different ways to work with children that do not involve weight loss or calorie counting for children. For example, what could be helpful for children is to teach them about the importance of eating protein and the importance of eating carbohydrates, and to help them recognize as children, just as we do with adults, as eating different foods, how does that make you feel? Does eating a lot of sugar make you feel as good as eating a balanced meal with protein and fresh fruit and vegetables and healthy, yummy grains? Like, how does that make you feel? And focusing more on energy and performance, whether that's in school or if they play sports or even just on the playground, how children feel and how foods make them feel, both from a physical perspective and also from an emotional perspective as well. And so when we approach that with children, it can hopefully go with them into adulthood and make them healthier adults, both nutritionally and physically and mentally and emotionally around their relationship with food. And so it's really evident here that when we're looking at diets, specifically when it comes to bone health, that it's really not conducive to long-term health. Again, your skeleton is what holds you up and takes you from point A to point B and allows you to do the amazing things that your body does in your daily life, in the gym, in sports. And it's really important that when we're looking at nutrition and fitness, that we're not looking for those instant gratification and that we're looking for those long-term and that longevity into later decades of the lifespan, because hopefully we make it there. And if we do, we want to make it there with a quality, vibrant life, and also not one with a mentality that is holding us back from living our best life, which is that crazy diet mentality that holds so many people back and robs so many people from such amazing experiences in their lives. So with that, I always like to leave everything and everyone in every session and each episode with some practical tips that we can take with us. So first, it's important to recognize if what you're doing in terms of your nutrition plan is diety. Is it restrictive? Is it cutting out carbohydrates? Is it over-restricting calories? And I think that's the first thing for you to observe. And, you know, a professional can help you determine that. But most of us know a lot about nutrition and may know if we are really over-restricting food. And we can tell that through, you know, our energy, you know, or how well we're able to perform in our exercise and in our workouts. Is that's a good telltale sign if we are able to perform well. If you don't know, especially if you're just starting to train harder and train more, your needs are going to obviously be different than someone who's not training, and it's really important to work with a professional on that. So looking to make sure that you're not dieting or not restrictive. Two is making sure that we're getting enough carbohydrates in our day. Like I mentioned before, there is a study going on, and I'm anxiously awaiting the results of this study, but COVID has unfortunately stopped this study from really progressing on the timeline it should. But it was looking at carbohydrates, calorie restriction, and bone health. And so I really believe that carbohydrates may have a role in all of this and definitely have a role in your overall health and performance. And so making sure that you're getting ample carbohydrates, if you want to make sure you're getting enough, I recommend that you have a little bit of starchy foods with each of your meals, and make sure that it's enough to match your energy output. So starchy foods like breads and rice and pasta and cereals and potatoes and beans and legumes are all starchy, carbohydrate-rich foods that you need to have energy. Last thing I want to leave you guys with is making sure that you guys have enough protein. Your palm, if you look at it right now, so open up that hand and look at your palm, you should be having at minimum that much serving of protein. That size serving, which is about 3 ounces at each of your meals. So protein at breakfast, protein at lunch, and protein at dinner. And that should get you really on the lower end of your protein needs versus the higher end. Obviously, if you're more into weightlifting, you're going to want more than 3 ounces per meal. And in addition, having protein with your snacks and then also your fat. We should be having healthy fats with our meals. We don't want to skimp on fat because it is an important nutrient, as well for our neurological health and overall energy needs as well, to make sure we're getting in enough fat. So, guys, I'm going to leave you with those quick nutrition tips. Now, if you're looking for something a little bit more personal or something a little bit more specific for you, I do have my one-to-one nutrition coaching, as well as this fall, I will be relaunching my Fuel Your Strength nutrition program, which really teaches you how to fuel your body for exercise and training. It's much different than just our regular general healthy nutrition. There are specific needs for an active population, which is what I specifically specialize in. So if you're interested in that, you can send me a DM. Again, I will be launching that program this fall in September, so watch out for that. Guys, as always, thank you so much for your time and attention, and I'm always here for you.